Hey, welcome back to Dynasty Mode. I'm Mike, and I'm joined again by Dave. How you doing, Dave?
What's up?
This is go number two of the podcast. Something happened last night immediately after ending our conversation where it didn't save, but I think in our past, if we give it a second go, we actually provide a better show.
Yeah, I agree with that. So far, we're one for one.
Yeah. Or in a way, we have just two stinkers on our hands too. But we'll be optimistic. This is the Dynasty Fantasy Podcast. So I think we should just get this out of the way. This coming out a day later than we wanted to probably means you're not going to have access to this. But waiver wire, I believe he's rostered in 0.1% of leagues on ESPN from my quick research. Miles Gaskin, Dave and I, we both watched the Patriots-Dolphins game. I personally thought he was the only running back of the three that the Dolphins put out there that looked like an NFL running back. Probably a pretty low investment if you're using free agent auction money. What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, I think he should be available. You probably don't have to pay that much for him because unless you – watched the game, maybe you didn't notice, and they have three running backs, so I don't know, he might not win out, but it's pretty low risk, high reward type situation. I'd also, if he's available, I'd also try to draft get Joshua Kelly off the waiver wire. He looked really good, and I think he's gonna have a big role on that team.
Right. There was a wide receiver on the Bears you were interested in too, right? Steven Wims, right?
Yeah. Well, he had a lot of some hype, and I think a lot of people in training camp thought he looked good. So I would take a flyer on him as well, and maybe Quintez Cephas had a surprising number of targets. He's probably worth grabbing too.
Yeah. So the format for this show, probably similar to what it will be all during this season, is, you know, rather than go through each game, we'll do a couple quick hits, and then we'll go a little bit more in depth on a couple things. Last week I hinted that I kind of expected air yards to be down, and through week one that was the case. I just kind of thought, you know, the guys who do really well catching the ball close to the line of scrimmage and doing something with the ball in their hand were going to be way more effective than the guys who you needed to, you know, build a rapport with or again on longer passes and, you know, making sure that people are hitting, you know, their points. And the stats would show that. Did you notice any of that while you were watching this week, Dave?
Yeah. I think a lot of quarterbacks looked pretty bad, and that might partially be an effect of they weren't totally in sync with their wide receivers. There was like a half a preseason and no preseason game, so they really didn't get a big chance to like really get on the same page unless they were teams that were already doing it last year. So I think that's kind of why teams like the Ravens and the Chiefs still looked good, because they really didn't have much turnover and everyone's still on the same page, picked up right up where they left off last year. Whereas like pretty much every other team had turnover and a lot of quarterbacks looked real bad.
Yeah. It's interesting that you bring up both the Ravens and the Chiefs, because Lamar Jackson actually somehow managed to get better. He was the leader in air yards per attempt and per completion. Per attempt, he was at 8.1 yards, and per completion, he was 10.1. Kirk Cousins was second, which is a little bit surprising.
Yeah, that's really surprising.
Yeah, and I mean, his numbers were actually pretty crazy. He was 7.5 on and 9.8, but then actually at the bottom of that were actually Kyler and Mahomes. they both averaged 2.4 per attempt, and Kyler had 3.7 per completion, and Mahomes 3.3. But the thing is, if you throw the ball to the guy who's wide open 3.3 yards away from you, and he takes off for, you know, 30 yards, that's 30 yards passing. So
yeah, definitely.
And the narrative was, you know, the Seahawks let Russ cook, which is pretty interesting because he was third in attempts, but he was 2.5 or 2.6 yards less than Cousins per attempt and 4.3 yards less per completed pass. So that's pretty huge. And I mean, that really shows you how scary Lamar Jackson could be this year. I mean, that was a bad team, so I'm not putting a ton of weight into it, but if he's completing long passes like that, I mean, maybe we need to change our tune to you build your team around Lamar Jackson when you start off and not Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. I mean, they both pass the eye test. I think Mahomes will pick it back up. I don't think he had a bad game. I think the game plan just might not have been what it was last year.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I'm not concerned about, I mean, Mahomes and Kyler are still awesome. It's just how they're using their offense. They're still going to be effective. They're still going to put you up these points.
Yeah. Kyler surprised me a little bit, but.
So beyond that, one of the things we had asked was, could Gardner Minshew, you know, how well does he have to play to keep his job? 19 of 20 feels like a guy who might be able to keep his job. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he looked good, and that's almost a perfect game.
That was against the team that people think maybe thought at this point in the Colts were going to win the division.
Yeah.
And what I'm thinking is they're probably still going to be bad. Like, I still don't see them being out of the top. I still think they're probably bottom two. I think it's going to be I don't know what the opposite of a dogfight is, because it's not that, but between the Jets, the Jags, and the Panthers.
And the Dolphins.
I don't think the Dolphins are going to be that bad.
I think they're going to be terrible.
I think even Brian Flores is even a good coach.
Yeah, but I just don't think they have the pieces to let the quarterbacks play.
Yeah, I don't know. They were surprisingly good last year, and they already have another year. They have a better quarterback coming in. I think they're worse if they play Fitzpatrick all season. But even then, I guess the Dolphins would be in an amazing position if they ended up with the 1 or 2 pick. Because then they could trade it for a king's ransom. But yeah. I think if Minshew is that type of player and James Robinson looked pretty good, it seems like they're high on him. Laviska Shenault showed up. They should have a pretty inexpensive young core. If they have one of those top picks, I think you could probably trade it away. There's going to be teams who need a top quarterback, and you could inexpensively add some more weapons. Mm-hmm. And if you have, you know, skill position players who are on, you know, rookie contracts, not even first round picks, to me that says you might be able to bring in some talent from free agency. I don't know who's necessarily desiring to go to Jacksonville. Maybe we'll have to ask Daniel how hard it is to sell people on Jacksonville, but Minshew impressed me.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would invest in him.
So I wrote this in the outline in all caps. No, nothing else but fire Adam Gase. if there's anybody out there who's coming at me with the narrative that he was the offensive coordinator for one of the greatest offenses ever, give me a break. First of all, Peyton Manning was like an offensive coordinator on the field.
Yeah.
Second, tons of talent. He didn't need to coach those players up. He just needed to put the plays in. I think Adam Gase is absolutely terrible. I think that franchise has squandered Sam Darnold. Just a garbage fire. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I could see them giving him another year. They've had so much turnover on the Jets offense. Darnold at 3 years is the longest. He's tied with one of the tight ends for the longest tenure on that offense. So they basically cycled through a whole offensive unit, and there's just no stability. So I'm not necessarily surprised that they haven't been able to make anything happen. But we'll see. I don't know. Are people in New York just like screaming for him to be fired?
I don't think people care about the Jets nearly as much as they do the Giants. And I have to assume if I am here, you know, saying he's this bad and it's not a team I root for, it's a team I root against. It feels really unfortunate. You know, I think they could have done something with Le'Veon Bell last year. This whole, I shouldn't have put him back in when he was hurt, was like a weird thing to come out. That whole relationship between him and Bell has been super weird and public and what have you. I just don't think he's any good at coaching an NFL team. Perhaps if you want to bring him in to scheme up stuff for an already pre-existing great team, that's what he's good at.
Sure. I'm a little sad that I drafted Mims, because I don't think he'll get utilized if he's not injured all year.
Yeah. I loved the pick of Becton in the first round, give him somebody to protect Darnold's backside and then, you know, get a solid wide receiver who he can build a rapport with. But the way this team is managed, I just don't know how that could even happen.
Yeah. Well, we'll give him a few more weeks.
Yeah. We'll check back in. And then the last more, shorter thing. I think I'm more concerned than most about the no catches for Eckler. How did you feel upon seeing that?
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty surprising. The fact that they didn't even target him, it must have been part of their game plan. I don't think they would have done that if they had game planned for him to get receptions, they would have at least targeted him a few times. So they might just not be far enough into the season to like really fully implement their offense, or they decided that that's not the way they wanted to go this week. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, the concern for me is that Phillip Rivers has always been a check down guy. That was what he was known as. That's where the quarterback where Eckler broke out. Tyrod Taylor is really not that type of quarterback. And
that's true.
And Tyrod Taylor, maybe he's the QB all year. There's enough talent there that I think a Tyrod Taylor could keep them in playoff contention for most of the season.
Yeah.
They squeaked out a win. That's a bit, winning games that you maybe shouldn't win, go a long, long way in a short NFL season. That being said, I would just, if I was an Eckler owner, I would really hope that Justin Herbert would take over. In college, he threw to running backs about 16-ish percent of the time. That would probably be the best way to say that.
Yeah.
Which is still only half of the 32% that the backs saw in the Chargers offense last year. But I also think that the check down to Eckler is going to be a way easier pass for Herbert to, you know, get in sync with, rather than the bombs that he has to throw to Mike Williams, seeing as Mike Williams is one of the long targets in the NFL. I think he was averaged the most air yards last year.
I wouldn't be concerned yet. It's week one. And it's two new quarterbacks. They'll show him some game film and be like, hey, you need to start throwing to the running backs. I wouldn't be too concerned about Eckler yet.
All right. And then, So the bigger things that we kind of talked about, you want to go positive, negative, or medium?
Let's go negative.
All right. Let's go negative. Let's talk about that Browns offense. So I know that yesterday you had not had the opportunity to watch the all 22 like you had wanted to. Did you find time for that in between the SWAT raid outside your house earlier today?
No, that was pretty distracting. That was like 3 hours of just like looking out my window, like being like a creepy neighbor. Like, yeah. Second guessing what the SWAT negotiators were like talking about.
Right. Well, so maybe that's for an entirely different true crime podcast, since that's so popular. I don't know why you'd want to watch the all 22 of that offense. It was bad.
Yeah.
I'm going to say right now that if this doesn't turn around against the Bengals and at least looks somewhat better, this Baker Mayfield run as the Browns quarterback is probably done with after this year.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I was very excited about this because the Kevin Stefanski offense that he ran in Minnesota was super run heavy. It involved tight ends. They brought in Austin Hooper. They had David Njoku. They have two great running backs. In terms of just running the ball, Nick Chubb might be the best running back in the league. But if you're just getting crushed, you can't run the ball. And, you know, I thought, you know, by accident, Nick Chubb could just kind of fall into the end zone three more times than he did last year. And all of a sudden, you know, 11 touchdowns is a whole lot more than eight. And because of how bad they were, even though both of them weren't particularly bad, you know, Nick Chubb went 10 rushes for 60 yards. And then Hunt went 13 for 72 yards. So that's 6 and 5.5, which is totally respectable, solid running. But you can't do that when somebody like Baker Mayfield is going 19 for 39 for 189 yards, which equates to 4.8 yards per pass. There was an average of 0.9 yards after the catch on those completions.
Yeah, so he was basically throwing the ball into, like, terrible situations.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't – that means he's not hitting anybody in stride. He's not hitting somebody when they're open. I mean, he must have made some – you know, of those 19 completions that he made, he must have, you know, snuck some of them into a window that was small, because if the guy's getting tackled 1 yard later – obviously, you know, he was making some passes in small windows. But the way the NFL works now is you might throw the ball to your wide receiver behind the line of scrimmage and he takes off for 15 yards because he's a playmaker. If you're only getting 0.9 yards per after the catch, that's just gonna really destroy you.
He only made out of 9 attempts under pressure, he only made 2 of them. And then when he had no pressure, he had 30 attempts and he still only got 19 of those. So he was just a shade over 63% when he wasn't under pressure. So that's, I don't know, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
It's not even that he was like getting crushed the whole game. It was just bad decision making.
Right. Njoku got hurt, which obviously takes away. I mean, they did draft Harrison Bryant this offseason, which people kind of were not quite sure why they did that. But Austin Hooper, who they talked about him going to Baker Mayfield's house in the offseason to, you know, work out and what have you.
Yeah.
Got the total dud of 2 for 15.
Yeah, I'm so glad I traded him.
I mean, if this is going to turn around, the tight ends are going to need to be a part of it. I think a young quarterback can really succeed with a stud tight end.
Yeah.
I don't think Hooper's necessarily a stud, but I think the skill level is there for him to be a safety blanket for him, you know, safety net, not a blanket. Not a blanket. I mean, he's a so let's talk about Odell Beckham. I mean, I know that you, myself, Kevin, we were hard pass on Odell Beckham in this offseason, and I feel like game one couldn't have given us better reason, you know, to feel that way. 3 of 10 for 22 yards, and of those 3, 16 yards came on one of them. So that just means it was such bad passing. The 2 completions that he had nowhere to go with them. One of them he was able to do something with. I'm not even sure if he actually got tackled. But if you're only catching 3 of 10 balls to you,
yeah,
that's bad passing.
Yeah, only 4 of them were catchable. He dropped one.
Yeah, so
that's bad.
Yeah. I mean, that's not using a weapon. And then Jarvis Landry, 5 catches for 61 yards on 6 targets. That's way better. But at the same time, I mean, we've basically gone over every completion here at this point. You know, there was a couple out of the backfield, the Beckham, Hooper, Njoku had the touchdown, Landry, and then can you think of a team in the NFL right now that has a good passing game where you can't name the 3rd wide receiver?
Yeah.
You can't.
No. Yeah.
I mean, every good passing team, you know, it might be Sammy Watkins, who isn't necessarily fantasy relevant, but he's also good enough to make Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce more fantasy relevant, because he's not somebody that, you know, you can just put in man coverage, not, you know, pay attention to, because the Browns, their 3rd wide receiver is maybe a guy called Kahadarell Hodge, who I've never heard of. I haven't even come across him in all the research we did. And then Rashard Higgins. And really, at the end of the day, who cares? Because each of them had 1 reception. So
yeah, the wrong Higgins.
I think that is a disaster. If they don't look better this week, I think you're in for a rough stretch. You have Washington, whose defense was swarming. They're going up, and then they go up against Indy, Pittsburgh, probably the best defense in the league. Dallas, who definitely has the firepower to beat them in a, you know, a gunfight. And then the Bengals again, who, if they look bad against them, why would they be any better against them the second time? So you really got to hope, if you're this, you know, Browns team, if you're an owner of any of these guys, that they look good in those 2 Bengals games. You know, the young Washington team, they can kind of battle, and you know, I would just kind of chalk Indy, Pittsburgh, and Dallas up as a loss, and you're 3-4 at week 7. That to me is pretty scary for Baker Mayfield as a player. The one thing that I would say about that is I wouldn't drop him. I would maybe not even – I would almost be excited for him to burn out on the Browns just because I know I'm going to sound like a homer here, but would there be anything more, you know, fitting than for him to fail and then come in as the new Patriots quarterback next year after Cam Newton left?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, that's a lot of speculation. Who knows? You know, I could be singing an entirely different tune after this week. Maybe, you know, they come out guns blazing against the Bengals.
I don't think so. I'm highly skeptical.
Totally. I think Baker Mayfield in Cleveland is done, and you hold on to him in hopes that he becomes the next Patriots quarterback, because I am going to say this. Cam Newton played well enough in week one that I would say he deserves a far greater contract than he got.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
It's not to say that I think he, you know, deserves to be back in the elite quarterbacks. He definitely has to prove it. I don't, you know, if there's 15 weeks that follow this that are really bad, it won't be great.
Yeah, he has to play the rest of the season. He can't get
right
injured.
So, you know, he had 15 and 19 for 155 yards, 75 yards rushing on 15 attempts. That's awesome. You know, that's a great piece to build your offense around. I'm still super concerned about it. Sony Michel is still Sony Michel. JJ Taylor showed some good bursts on his four runs. It was 7 yards per rush. I still can't imagine anybody taking over this entire backfield, especially when they're always going to bring James White in on third down or a passing situation.
Yeah, no one on that team already, for sure.
And I think we're going to see I'm going to sound like the world's biggest Jamal Adams fan because I brought him up last week, but that's the type of player who's can single-handedly cause the Patriots to not have Cam Newton rush effectively. What are you seeing of the Patriots so far, as you are not a Patriots fan? So,
yeah, I thought they looked pretty good. They definitely wouldn't have beat like a better team. Like, I don't know. Cam looked good. Unless they have a running game, they're going to become one-dimensional. And I mean, they can't just throw it to Julian Edelman all the time. That's not an effective plan through the season. So they need to figure out some more tools.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that. Damier, I don't know how to say his name, Bird. He led the team in offensive snaps at the wide receiver position with 56. He had zero receptions. The average depth of route was 14.1 yards. All the players who got more yard, you know, a higher average depth of route last week, it was Adam Thielen, Marquise Brown, Preston Williams, Mike Williams, Jalen Reagor. You know, one of these is not like the other. You know, those guys are big time parts of the offense. They're not going to, you know, go 56 snaps and not end up with the reception for their team. And if you don't throw the ball to him, nobody's going to respect it. I've got to think that, you know, you brought this up on our failed recording last night, but first play of the game, first drive of the game is a bomb to Bird.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Just to keep it honest. And if there was a place where I could bet $5 on that, I bet you I'd, you know.
You'd have pretty good odds.
Yeah, I had pretty good odds, and I think I would take it. You know, I think that was a really good observation on your part. That being said, those dudes were – he was super high in terms of average depth of route. Edelman and Harry were at the bottom of average depth of route. Harry saw 51 snaps, and his average depth of route was 6.4, which was the lowest of all players with 20-plus snaps, and Edelman was 8.4. Edelman doesn't super scare me. He's always been a, you know, short yardage grinder type. Harry, it's really concerning. I had a little chat with Doug Kide about this morning, and the thing he's, you know, the stat he brought to me was he's averaging 4.8 yards per target in his career and is just generally ineffective. And I looked at his college scouting report before he came out, and the strengths of him, you know, of his game were size mismatch, red zone weapon, some speed after the catch, if that's a positive. But the negatives were lack speed, not twitchy or explosive, not fast in and out of breaks, and lack suddenness. And I know you don't have to do all of those things to be a elite NFL wide receiver. There's a skill set, but you have to, you know, just hear all that and say the Patriots are using him incorrectly.
Yeah, you can't have that sort of player be in the slot.
Yeah.
I don't think.
I mean, he's a big, strong guy. Like, I want him on the outside, you know, jumping balls, getting him at their high point. I don't want him, you know, catching these little dinks and dunks where he's not going to have the speed or the shiftiness to get around, whoever's near him.
Yeah. I don't know. This offense might be more vanilla than it will be going forward. Cam had even less time to work with the team than most other new quarterbacks on teams. Because, like, he was available for, like, a month. When did they sign him? Like, August?
Yeah, it was pretty late, I suppose. So I took a look at their schedule, and let's see if you agree with me. Basically, for the rest of so these are the teams that I think they'll win against. I think win – I separated win-loss maybe. They already won against the Dolphins. I think they win both matchups against the Jets. I think they beat the Bills in one matchup and lose to them in the other. So,
yeah, yeah.
And then I think they can beat the Chargers. I think they lose to Seattle, Kansas City, Baltimore, San Francisco, and, as I said, one of the Bills games.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say for – the maybe category, you have, they're facing the Texans, the Cardinals, the Raiders, the Broncos, and the Rams. And I know they already beat the Dolphins, but it's pretty rare that they beat the Dolphins twice in a year. Like, whatever it is about going to Miami, they shit the bed more often than not. So that's, six games that are kind of a toss up.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I could see the Raiders beating them pretty. They looked really good.
And I think, this game against Seattle is really interesting. And I think one of these things is something to kind of watch with all teams all season. Because of COVID, they're flying into Seattle on Friday instead of what would probably be a Saturday flight. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're not at your home, base, you obviously just don't have everything at your disposal that you would use in terms of practice, you know, facilities, what have you. And Seattle has a good defense, and they have Jamal Adams, like I said. And I think if Seattle really puts them in check, you might see the scheme that teams kind of, just base everything off of for the rest of the season. I look to the Cardinals, the Texans, and Rams to be teams to put up big points, and Cam would need to throw more. I think they scored 21 points this game. Maybe. I don't remember. But I don't think it was enough to compete with those three teams. Do you?
Yeah, no. I think they should lose. Unless their defense can basically win the game for them.
Yeah. I think they're pretty lucky that they have the Broncos team early. I know Drew Locke threw a terrible deep ball, but the defense is pretty good. It's disappointing that Von Miller's not there, but it's still a pretty good defense. And, Drew Locke
Definitely. Didn't look altogether terrible. He had some good points.
Yeah, I think that team will be pretty good offensively, even if it's just running, you know, a pretty vanilla game manager right in front of Drew Lock, and just using the fact that you have Cortland Sutton, Noah Fant, and Jerry Jeudy. You know, that's still a pretty solid offense to have.
And they didn't have Cortland Sutton in that first game, so they might have been leaning on Jeudy more than they will.
And then, you know, the Raiders showed some flashes. I didn't love that they got taken, you know, to the point where I think it was a one-score game between them and the Panthers. But they feel that they're not, you know, in past years I would have said, like, the Patriots will smoke the Raiders. Now I'm like, a couple things go poorly, you know, a couple things go well for the Raiders. I could see them losing. It does seem like a game where they could potentially just use a similar game plan where it's, you know, Cam run heavy and Belichick kind of schemes up a defense that makes Derek Carr the worst quarterback in the NFL. They're probably going to stop calling him that. He's not. I just think he's terrible.
You hate Carr.
I just can't, like, I don't understand mediocrity for as long as they've accepted mediocrity. Like, just cut ties, be worse so that you can be better.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's funny. I took over a dynasty team and in its first week, it lost by 2 points. And even though I know it's because, you know, I can easily pinpoint the loss on the 2 points lost by Diontae Johnson's fumble, I'm going to say it's actually because my second quarterback that I inherited was Derek Carr.
The curse of the Carr. Yeah, I don't know. He's definitely a game manager. He's not. They didn't seem to, like, have him making very many risky throws. He kind of, like, played it very safe. None of their wide receivers really was all that great. And if they didn't have
Ruggs, sorry to interrupt, but Ruggs looked great before he got hurt. I actively sought that out this afternoon, and it looked like they were a team who were like, we know this speed, we know this, you know, game breaker ability is here, and we need to, you know, use it to the best of our ability. And I think, you know, that Ruggs Jacobs core is pretty, you know, pretty good moving forward. It'd be just great if they had a better quarterback.
Yeah, Jacobs looked awesome. He was great last year, and do you think he's a top five running back this year?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I, you know, in my dynasty startup draft that I did last week, he was one of the players that I wanted as a cornerstone in my, you know, my team. And I absolutely think I found that. All right. So let's end with a positive. I am sky high on the Steelers offense right now. How about you?
Yep. Yeah. They're really good. The game started off kind of slow, but Roethlisberger really picked it up as the game progressed.
I mean, that's my greatest fear, is that there's just no tread left on that tire, and by, you know, potentially by week 8, he's, you know, just got a dead Peyton Manning arm. And
yeah, when that game first started, I was like, oh, this does not look good. Yeah, Roethlisberger looked like real slow. He wasn't like adjusting to the pressure very well. But yeah, Juju Schuster, he's back.
Yeah, I mean, 6 receptions, 69 yards, 2 touchdowns on 6 targets is phenomenal. I feel like I screwed up that stat, but it might have been more. I don't think he caught every pass thrown his way. But either way, you know, he passed the eye test as being back. And part of the reason why I think he looked back was also Diontae Johnson kind of filling that Antonio Brown role. He had 6 receptions on 10 targets for 57 yards. And you could tell by watching the game how important that team finds Diontae Johnson to be in terms of you know, the future of that wide receiver core.
Yeah. Yeah. They have some really solid pieces. Claypool is new this year and he's an athletic freak. And Ebron's there and he could be potentially like a huge comeback player this year.
Yeah. I think that he was a guy that I was targeting quite a bit in the later part of best ball drafts for this year, just because I could totally see him rehaving the season he had with Andrew Luck a couple of years ago, where he was great. You know, Claypool was actually only, you know, he had two targets and he caught both of them for 39 yards. But I feel like that catch, you know, I hate to put so much weight into one catch, but that was a big boy NFL, like, welcome to the league. Like, I'm here. Fuck you. Like,
I think, you know, that was like play. Something said that there was like some stat that said that was the most difficult catch that was made in week one.
It was the best catch I saw by far.
Yeah.
And, you know, he, to close out the game, you know, he slid out, but I think he could have actually ended up with more yards than he, because he busted out of there. You know, I think the future's sky high for that. It would be disappointing if they let Juju go, but I would say that Claypool looks like a great replacement for him if that's what they wanted to do. But James Washington was, you know, two receptions, 34 yards on three targets, scored a touchdown.
Yeah, he looked really good on that touchdown.
Yeah, and he seemed to have a nose for the end zone last year when him and, you know, Johnson were breaking out with absolutely awful quarterback play. I don't know, with five wide receiver option, you know, or receiving options like that, wouldn't you just be slinging the ball all game if you were the Steelers?
Yeah, and Connor's potentially banged up already. I think you'll see a lot of that.
Well, let's talk about that. I think Snell looked so much better. He was running with purpose. He was hitting the hole. You know, 5.9 yards per carry, 19 carries, 113 yards. Like, that's a, you know, that's a legit NFL running back stat line right there.
Yeah. I've always been like kind of like a grudging, grudgingly been like, yeah, Connor's good, I guess. I've never been like the biggest fan, but Snell, he has the tools. He looked awesome in college. And I think a lot of people weren't sure if that was going to translate to the NFL, but I mean, he is extremely productive. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah. You know, and I think with that defense that they have, you know, if Snell's running like that, or even Connor, they're going to, you know, they potentially get up big leads by slinging the ball to those pass catchers, grind out yards on the, you know, ground to kill the game. But like, I think that defense is good enough that they can, you know, really dictate, you know, basically the Steelers to play whatever type of game they want to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they looked really good. We'll see if that translates to week two and beyond. As long as Roethlisberger can stay healthy, who's his backup?
Mason Rudolph. Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still kind of disappointed. I think it would have been nice if they hadn't traded their first round pick for Minkah Fitzpatrick. I still think that would be a really great defense, and it would have been really nice if they could have used that pick to get somebody like a Jordan Love, have him spend a year under, you know, just watching the game, getting adjusted to it, and then kind of plugging in. Because if they pick the successor to Roethlisberger this year, I'm pretty scared about what Roethlisberger could be at the end of the season next year.
Yeah, and Rodgers might be around for a little bit longer if he plays the rest of the season like he did game one.
Yeah, I mean, how much are you putting into the Aaron Rodgers fuck you world tour, you know, Tom Brady part two after they drafted Jimmy Garoppolo?
I think he looked awesome.
I think he looked awesome too, but I'm a little bit scared of that Vikings pass defense was already considered to be kind of suspect.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, with a real pass rush, who knows? He might look like crap.
Yeah. All right. So I think one of the ways we should try to kind of end this out is, you know, this is all about the long play. So I think you need to consider moving on from players, buying them when there's a, you know, perhaps sudden dip, you know, maybe one bad week in an ominous situation, you know, kind of seems to be looming. Maybe you can get them at a good price. You sell a player who you can see is kind of being phased out of the offense, but is still an effective part of it. And for me, I came up with the two players I think to talk about here. And I don't know if the SWAT team distracted you from adding anybody, but I would buy Zach Ertz. I think he's still going to be totally legit. And the emergence of Goddard has to scare Ertz owners. And I still think he would be a totally great tight end in another system. He'll still be pretty good because they have nobody to throw to.
Yeah, they might just be running with two tight ends most of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to be in 12 formation quite a bit. Jalen Reagor can really break out, or even maybe J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, which, you know, he had all sorts of preseason hype that he was going to be better, and then he was non-existent in the stat line. But, I mean, Goddard is the guy to go to. They're talking about contract disputes. You never know where a player in Zach Ertz, he's been in the league probably like 5 years now, I think.
Yeah, they both got drafted the same year.
And then, I just could see him finally, you know, them realizing we don't need two tight ends. We need an offensive lineman. We need draft picks to rebuild this offensive line next year.
Yeah, it's probably going to be pretty hard for them to pay for two tight ends.
Right. Oh, they're definitely not. And I think they would get, pick Goddard over him at this point. I still think there's enough left in the tank. I think you can be nervous about where he ends up, but I think there's enough teams that could use a solid tight end.
Yeah, and I think there's enough fear from game one and enough antipathy from last – well, I mean, I think people kind of soured on him a little bit last year.
Yeah.
So, I definitely think you could get him. And I think you could probably get him for – a pretty good price for how good he actually is. So yeah, I agree with that one.
And then the sell is Amari Cooper. They have to pay Dak Prescott. CeeDee Lamb already saw the field a ton. He already looked pro ready. They have Gallup. Tony Pollard is a pass catching option. I know he's not, he's a running back, but him and Zeke Elliott on the field are, both totally capable pass catchers. Unfortunately, Jarwin got hurt, so Cooper probably actually benefits from that. But between what it would cost to keep him, the cap flexibility they have to let go of him, I believe after this season, he doesn't equate to a ton of dead money, but he equates to quite a bit of money if they keep him. And I still think, you can move forward with CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup and get a younger player or a veteran to fill that third wide receiver role and have more money. Whereas, you look at his stat line from this past week, he, led the team in targets, big time numbers. You're still going to get a pretty good haul for him.
Yeah.
And I personally kind of think that it is often forgotten how much he would disappear when he was with the Raiders. There were points in time where he was on the Raiders and he looked like an absolute bust.
Yeah, he was definitely a high ceiling, low ceiling, or low floor kind of guy.
Yeah.
But when he looks good, he looks really good. But you probably, if you sell him now, it's probably the best value you're going to get. It probably would have been better to sell him last year.
Yeah, I mean, I also think, though, like, if you're coming to a team and you're, you know, they need a wide receiver and you're coming with offers, you know, you're offering them Amari Cooper, they're not going to turn you away. You know, they're going to engage the conversation with you. Your price might be too high, but I think, you know, if a team's looking for a wide receiver and you're selling Amari Cooper, like, you're going to have buyers.
Yeah, I agree.
Is there anybody you would want to add to that, or you want to wrap things up?
I have a couple buy lows that first one's not realistic, but hey, maybe you could buy AJ Brown for kind of low because he looked kind of crappy.
Yeah.
And Corey Davis looked good. I don't believe that at all. I think he's going to bounce right back up, but who knows? It's worth trying to get him off of a owner who might not be super savvy.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that, you know, I discussed it earlier. We discussed it, but I mean, I think I brought it to the table that, like, AJ Brown's sample size and his stats were even, I thought, smaller than, you know, teams were suggesting. He didn't show up for, you know, the first 10 games of the season. The next six, he, you know, balled out in like four of them. One of them, he had a crazy stat line, but it was on a long rush. And then, you know, if he doesn't show up for 10 games, a couple, you know, even if he breaks out for 2 weeks, are you going to start game planning around him? Or are you just going to assume that this was a guy who, you know, beat some schemes? That being said, I think he's still an all-world talent. So I don't know how many people are going to
wait a few more weeks. Maybe if he has a few more bad weeks.
I do think buying Corey Davis, you know, unless, I mean, I don't know who's going to be like, oh man, Corey Davis is so awesome now. But I do think that perhaps his role as a solid wide receiver two on the Titans is a much better fit for him. And they can, you know, that's where he's actually going to succeed, where, you know, the safety over the top is paying attention to AJ Brown and Corey Davis.
Maybe it just took a contract year for him to actually start taking things seriously. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it clicked. You know, it took a while for Breshad Perriman. Took a while for Devontae Parker. Maybe this is the year of Corey Davis.
Yeah, sometimes it just takes a while. And the other guy I would potentially try to buy low is Christian Kirk. You'd probably get him for dirt cheap right now. He had five targets and he didn't catch any of them.
No, he caught one and he didn't get any yards.
Yeah.
He put up the awesome one reception, 0 yards. So if you're not in a PPR league, you got nothing from him. He's intriguing because he's been supposed to break out. And we talked about the air raid defense. We're getting a little bit long. Maybe we can look at how they look in week two and talk about it next week.
Sure.
But yeah, that was, you know, I mean, I bought him in a redraft league and he was super cheap in that. So, you know, I got to assume that he's super cheap no matter what.
Yeah.
They're playing your Washington Redskins. Oh no, football team. My apologies.
Washington FT.
Yeah. So, I'm sure you'll be able to report back on how that team looks.
Yeah, I'll definitely watch that game. I think the Cardinals will probably win, but it'll be interesting to see how they do against the Washington defense, who put up 8 sacks last week and 2 interceptions and a strip sack.
Yeah. So what games have you excited for this week?
That one, the Seattle game for sure. What about you? I'm just pulling up this week's games real quick.
Yeah. I mean, for the most part, you nailed it. Vikings Colts is a little bit interesting in the sense that if we'll see how truly bad, or we're going to figure out, was Aaron Rodgers really good or was that Vikings defense really bad? Because I think the Colts could go past crazy on them. The Ravens-Texans game is a little bit intriguing in the sense that, you know, basically the Ravens could just, you know, essentially get punched in the face 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
But if so, if the Ravens come out flying again, I mean, I think that, you know, might even in my head jump them to the number one team overall, especially when you can see how, you know, you'll be able after 2 weeks, see how two of the best teams in football did against a pretty good football team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole bunch of duds this week. I don't care about Giants, Bears.
I want to see Broncos, Steelers, and Saints, Raiders. I think those will be good games.
Yeah. Rams, Eagles will be interesting because Aaron Donald, you know, might potentially kill Carson Wentz. you know, that's – they could not use – you know, they need Miles Sanders back big, big time. But with that offensive line being terrible – you know, I'm pretty scared about Miles Sanders for the rest of this year.
Yeah, it's kind of it's disappointing.
All right, well, we're kind of rambling at this point, but you know, that's what we'll be looking at this week. So if you know, if those games intrigue you, that's probably what you're going to be hearing from us about next week.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Cool. I'm gonna end this recording and then I'm gonna join another Zoom call with you.
Yep.
All right.
All right. Bye, see Dave. You later.